Decades ago, there was flight from American cities to suburbs. Now people are moving back, and cities are trying to keep them without screwing up the very thing people come to cities for, character and community, and without leaving out or kicking out the longtime and often minority residents who've been there all along. Green Bay, Wisconsin renovated a rundown riverfront. Birmingham, Alabama rehabbed a 19-acre former rail yard, a rail front. Architects David Gamble and Patty Hato looked at the way 15 cities used new redevelopment. Their book is Rebuilding the American City, Design and Strategy for the 21st Century Urban Core, a must for city design wonks. Patty Hayda is in St. Louis, where she's a professor of urban design and architecture at Washington University. Patty, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And David Gamble is in our studios. His firm, Gamble Associates, is just across the river in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where he's also a lecturer on urban planning and design at Harvard University. David, welcome to you as well.
Hi.
And Patty, start with you. What are the biggest challenges that cities are facing with this influx of, you know, mainly young people moving back in?
Well, I speak from the seat of being in St. Louis, and David and I had many conversations. One of the persistent challenges is maintaining social equity in the face of redevelopment. Clearly, there are poorer neighborhoods that often get displaced, but there are ongoing issues of climate change, aging infrastructure, among other things.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to hit on all of them when we talk about cities that have come up with solutions, because we're not talking about gentrifying. We're not just talking about prettying up neighborhoods with outdoor cafes and forcing the people who live there out. That's not the solution. You write that there are five different ways that cities are approaching this. Anchor institutions, designing around an existing draw like a big hospital complex, maximizing a natural resource like the waterfront, a river, leveraging existing fabric, weaving kind of new threads of architecture into an existing fabric of a neighborhood, leveraging underutilized land, this is what they did in the Birmingham Railroad Park, and leveraging downtowns. An example is rehabbing Denver's Union Station. So you got those five examples. We're going to flesh them out. David, as you write, Boston and New York are thriving, but who knew about Buffalo? Talk about Buffalo and the idea of designing around an anchor institution.
That's right. Well, Buffalo is a great model because in 2001, there was a series of hospitals that really shared a territory but never really worked together to try to create that sense of place and that destination. And they understood that to compete, they would have to plan together and work in sync with the city. So in Buffalo, since 2001, the medical campus, which is really downtown, has doubled in its footprint. It's gone from really 3 million square feet to over 6 million square feet, and 7,000 employees to 17,000 employees just really in 12 years. I mean, that's a remarkable change.
Well, but talk about the design feature, Patty, because it's not just that it grew. Normally, when institutions like that grow, they just eat up a largely low-income area around them, or they moat themselves, you know, so they appear like a castle. What did they do with the land around the medical facilities in Buffalo that brought people in?
Well, they made a strategic decision in the planning of the project to allow for a new right-of-way through a linear park down the main avenue that connected these disparate institutions. So they essentially recruited design to create a unified identity
for the
institutions.
People can enjoy the parklands around the hospitals walking through it, and instead of feeling that they're barred from it. You mentioned, Patty, St. Louis, where you are. And this is the idea of leveraging existing fabric, weaving these new threads in. Don't just knock it all down. Talk about what used to be called McCree Town. Now it's been rebranded as Botanical Heights.
Essentially, this was an underserved neighborhood that was very near to an institutional anchor, which is the St. Louis Botanical Gardens. And the institution recognized that rather than walling off to their community, they can help that community regain its footing. However, the first phase of that redevelopment, I think the thinking at the time was that a radical approach was needed. This is in the early 2000s. And unfortunately, they wiped out six blocks of historic fabric. Mm. When it came time to implement the second phase of redevelopment, a local firm had moved into the neighborhood, and they became some involved in the redevelopment process. So the phase now that I'm talking about as being more effective, essentially, is much more incremental infill. And they're leveraging things like historic tax credits to be able to afford to preserve houses. They brought in a new Montessori school to really try to shore up possibilities for existing residents to have better school choice, to have a school choice. So there are not just bringing new buildings, but the manner in which they're bringing new buildings and the careful way that they're also bringing other elements to build the community back, I think, is remarkable in St. Louis.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Patty Haida and David Gamble. They're urban designers. Their new book is called Rebuilding the American City, and we'll have pictures at hereandnow.org. This is Here and Now. And David, what Patty was just talking about sounds great. It's sort of a bright, shiny penny in the middle of a city. It will attract people. But it also seems to start pushing longtime residents out.
That's right. And it's happening all over the country, this notion that as a place grows and gets better, particularly in downtown settings, there's increased pressure and, in fact, speculation on adjoining areas to somehow take advantage of that growth. And St. Louis is particularly pronounced because of its of the condition of the existing neighborhoods and the opportunities that are present for that. But you're witnessing that all across the country, a certain organic, almost entrepreneurial effort to rebuild in smaller areas, almost like pebbles, where you throw in a stone and it might grow over time. And those pockets of energy actually are increasingly more effective than top-down, large-scale master plans that might take 20 or 30 years to come to fruition. So,
and that little stone is less likely to be the boulder that will push out existing residents.
Exactly.
Well, maybe upgrading their neighborhoods. Well, I mean, again, you go into much more depth on all of this in the book, but I want to take a look at natural resources. This has been so popular on the East Coast. Talk about Chattanooga, Tennessee, Patty. What did they do?
In Chattanooga, they decided to redeveloped their riverfront, and they created over 129 acres of new development and park on their river. When we talk about riverfronts or districts and new development, there's always a much more protracted time frame that these things take years to build and play out and multiple administrations. In Chattanooga, it's unique because the mayor essentially started, implemented, and completed this major project to redevelop their riverfront in 35 months during his administration.
And I think that leadership is one of those themes that comes through in all of these 15 cities. But let me tell you about partnerships. And what was so unique about the Chattanooga case also was that the three primary cultural institutions decided to share their donor lists, and all of the money that went into the fundraising went to this particular project. Mm-hmm. And they were able to raise 50% of that, $120 million, in 3 months.
Yeah, well, that's another way it's going to go quicker than just doing it with public money,
yeah,
with private money involved. I love the projects that have been using, I mean, that's riverfront, but I love railfront and underutilized land. There's an old rail connector that was turned into a bikeway in Atlanta. In Birmingham, the railroad park that once, you know, was this abandoned rail yard is now what, Patty?
In Birmingham, this was a manufacturing city, of course, built on the rails and the steel industry there. And when the manufacturing moved out, just like so many American cities, they were left with a divided downtown. And their strategy was to embrace this. And the landscape essentially brings you right up close to watch the trains. It's a celebration of the industrial heritage.
Yeah, they kept a lot of the – you have to kind of keep some of the old when you build the new, David.
That's right. In fact, the edginess and the grittiness of that viewing platform that they've created in this 19-acre park is really what creates the allure to get people downtown and to make it a regional destination.
And we've been talking about cities, David, but the latest census data shows the suburbs are now, again, outpacing city growth. What do you see the next tier of thinking being about revitalizing suburbs.
That's a great point. And as more and more people move downtown, not just millennials, but people of all generations, it places a particular burden on those places that they just left. And
that they lose tax income.
Income and the character of all of that architecture and development that has occurred. And Atlanta was the poster child for sprawl for decades. And look at what's happening in the downtown core now. So I think that the next big challenge actually will be finding ways primarily through investment in transportation and transit, public transit, to make these places more accessible, easier to link to other job centers and networks of employment so that they don't atrophy in the way in which our downtown cores did.
You mean the suburbs?
Yeah.
So more public transportation too. Then David Gamble of the architecture firm Gamble Associates, Patty Haida of Washington University. David, Patty, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And again, we have great pictures at hereandnow.org, but also send us yours. Maybe it's a bike path on an old train track or an art incubator in an old factory. What is your town doing? The smaller projects even that might keep people there and also keep the character. Let us know at hereandnow.org.